your hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Cause I'm Curtis Blow, and I want you to know that these are the breaks.
This is Cecilia Kacik, the former state senator who represented Greene County. You are listening to WGXC ACRA, 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
Here's a PSA from Columbia County Sanctuary Movement about what to do if you encounter ICE. In our community, knowledge is power, so let's talk about your rights. You don't have to open the door, and you have the right to stay silent. Not sign anything, and in New York, you can record an interaction with law enforcement. If an agent comes with a warrant, it must be signed by a judge to be valid. In public, make sure to stay calm, don't run, and never lie or show false documents. If you're detained, you don't have to sign anything without a lawyer. ICE can use your words against you. So stay silent and ask for legal help. To stay informed, visit our social media account at CCSMNY. And if you are interested in learning more about your rights, call Columbia County Sanctuary Movement at 518-303-3848, Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5 p.m. And if you're approached by ICE agents or see them in the community, call CCSM's Rapid Response Line at 518-291-9386.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Matt Wynn of Hartsdale, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome to the Singularity Radio Program broadcast live from Castro Maker Syndicate. Artificial intelligence under cross-section of the cathedral. And that was our remote town guy breaking my flow. How you doing, Brian? Alright, he laughed, so I think the mics are up. Brian, you reading me? You coming in, sir? Oh, right. Sure, okay, he's got the night off. He's just hanging out. The real sound guy tonight is Cody. My man, thank you. How you doing? Well, you know what? Cluster together as a town and keep ourselves warm for the winter. Who needs the heat? Perfect intro, Cody. Good, man. Everybody's staying warm, prepared for the cold snap. It's gonna be cold tonight. I just had to plug in my man's propane tank. That's how cold it is.
Yikes.
Just randomly.
Sorry.
That was art.
It was. Sound art.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you have a newbie sound guy.
Only here on WGXE.
Yeah.
What's the thing called? Thingularity Sounds?
Yeah. Thingularity Sounds.
Okay.
So, there's a new app for Russians that's being distributed by the government, okay? Now, this is one of those spy on me apps that will watch what you're doing. It will send regular screenshots of everything you do back to the
Facebook.
Government. Yeah. Except they're very blatant about it, and it's overtly controlling you and the things you say. Now, not every single person has this app, so they're trying to coax the population into adopting it onto their phones. Can either of you guess what method or mechanism they're using to get the population to adopt this application?
Windows.
No.
What method of coercion?
Yeah.
Or manipulation?
Both. I mean, they're placing a requirement on this app. Well, I'm not saying that right. It's not a requirement on the app, but in order to do something, you're required to have this app. Common thing.
Apply for...
Nope.
Porn.
Closer.
Oh, it's closer. Gambling.
Closer.
Dang. It's some vice. It's a vice, I know.
What's the Russian vice? The Russian vice.
To get alcohol.
Dang. Ding, 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 ding. You need the app to purchase alcohol in Russia now.
Wow.
That sounds dodgy.
What? So if you want alcohol and you're a Russian and you want to escape the hell that you're in, you're going to have to let... Big Brother on your phone.
Wow. That sounds very un-Russian.
Or extremely Russian. Let's say extremely Putin-ish. That's how you monitor everybody. And they're going to need that level of control as everybody loses heat.
Now, is it vodka or is it beer?
Everything.
Yep.
Everything.
Both?
Yep. Any alcohol.
Interesting.
And I don't know what the adoption rate of this program is, but I'm... willing to bet they're going to get it.
Interesting.
Meanwhile, I have been hearing through the grapevine that Australia is going to make it so that they have to digitally identify people. So starting on the 10th, I guess, so that they can get online.
That sounds creepy. Like, the more like they're like, hey, identify who you are, tell us who you are. Like, the worst things get.
Everybody like, out there, it's your job to resist KYC.
It's better to just live in ignorance of what the other person is. You know what I mean? Because it creates problems.
It's privacy and that's liability.
Exactly. If I don't know what your social security number is, I'm no longer liable to keep it a secret.
Yep.
It works wondrous.
So we do have opt-in digital IDs here that are just all over the place. No real standard, but like in California, other states, you can digitize. New York, you can do this too. Same goes for, I just heard about yesterday, is you could digitize your passport and so use that on your phone. So we have like a really loose kind of non-system of the same kind of convergence. Another thing I also discovered, you know how you have the informed delivery of post office?
Mm-hmm.
I've been accidentally monitoring... delivery on what was not my house for years, but I never looked into this account. And I looked into it, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. We haven't lived in that house in 9 years. I've been receiving freaking an image of everything going to that house for 9 years, and the people who actually are getting it didn't know. So the post office has some really bad security on that delivery garbage through your email. Like, anybody can see anybody else's if you just through their really garbage security.
If I go on and I'm like, oh yeah, I live at such and such address. Yeah. Now I can get pictures of everything that gets sent there? As long as I manage to sufficiently prove to the post office that I live in a certain place.
Yep.
Oh, so then I can indefinitely get... Oh, Cody's making up Mid-Hudson bills right now.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? Gas company, here we come, Central Hudson. Look at this.
Well, if you're going to do white-collar crime like that, now's the time to do it.
That is interesting.
We're basically just letting it go. So, go for it now.
I think you just need to be wealthy enough for them to let it go. Based on the pardons?
You just have to be able to afford the lawyer. That's good enough to get you, like, off the hook.
That is true. I mean,
like, apparently, and I didn't know about this, there is a service in California where if you get a parking ticket or something, or a traffic ticket, a lawyer will go into court and just argue and argue and argue and run out the clock as long as possible to make your ticket go away.
Oh, they do that in New York City. Actually, UPS uses them. So UPS, to get around their trucks, right, they hired that service because they get ticketed all the time. It was cost of doing business. So they hired that service actually to argue the tickets on their behalf, like all of them.
Wow.
So they pay like a bulk rate to basically break the parking rules.
Wow, that's. I understand.
What's the saying you always say, Joe? It's legal for a price.
Yes.
It's legal for a price.
Just about everything is. And it doesn't have to be in the city. That rule tends to apply everywhere in the United States of Israel. I mean, America.
That would be kind of funny, like, with. Like Catskill, like you, like hire that service, and they're like arguing over a $5 ticket.
I would love to see that.
I mean, it's pretty. I mean, it's kind of funny.
Like, could you see the judge just sitting there, watches the word I don't want to use on air, lawyer walk right in, and the judge just gets all like deflated and sad. He's just gonna stand here and talk for like an hour. Yeah,
$5 parking ticket. Like it's just pay it.
Dismissed. Get out of my sight.
I like it. I like it because I hate parking tickets, and municipalities that enforce them are just basically predatory to their own people.
My consciousness is focused currently to your right.
Because I'm not talking into the microphone.
Yeah, mic consciousness.
Mic consciousness. Well, if I move, I'm going to pull a wire, and this mic is like, it's pointed at my temple, not my face. I can turn.
There you go.
There.
I don't know what the solution is.
You guys got anything grinding your gears this week?
Well, I can't really say that KDE's orphaning of the X11 windowing system is grinding my gears yet, but it might come 2027.
And why is that?
Because it's really handy to have when you need to do a remote desktop unattended, because you don't need somebody sitting there waiting to click the permission to share a screen. Yeah.
That is kind of a bummer, but...
Well, it is nice that you have to give permission to share your screen, though.
That, yes. I'm very appreciative of its replacement, called Wayland's security model, that prevents things from taking the screen without your consent, but like I said...
What if I want to open it up in an SSHX window? Right?
That's good.
Is that cool? No! F!
Yeah, absolutely.
I give it an F. Although... If you're a true nerd, you don't need the window.
If you're a true nerd, you don't need the window. Or you can just...
Once in a while, a nerd might find that niche need for the GUI. Like, I gotta click here or the system won't work. And it sucks. But yeah, terminal all the way if you absolutely can. And if you're doing your own stuff from the ground up, you should be able to do that. But there's been that weird, rare thing, like...
I've run into it, like, a few times with KVM, and it was like, it'd be really nice if I could just open the X-Window GUI on this thing.
Just give me the File Explorer, please.
Yeah, no, the version, you're like, oh.
No, I mean, a friend of ours explained it to me that it's simply that there are some databases or portals that aren't implemented yet, and I'm hoping, personally, that those portals will be implemented by 2027 when they finally take everything out from the X11 windowing system, but...
I'm still running X. All my systems are.
Really? Okay. You're running a system that was designed to have multiple seats and has no concept of a video driver?
Yeah.
But it still works. Terminal.
It still works somehow because of massive amounts of gross hacks.
Hey, those gross hacks are, like, at this point, smoothed out for all of my systems. They're working nice.
It's true.
I mean, that was the de facto model. We're just finally moving away from it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not 100% backwards compatible. You're going to lose a couple of things.
Well, I'm hoping we don't lose anything.
That's okay. They're just going to implement an AI component to make all of it look nice for you.
Oh, you need to stop.
Get out of here with this Church of the AI stuff.
What? AI is good for you. AI
I don't
is
know,
good for
man.
Everybody.
It writes some shiesty code. It sure really does. When you actually...
Shiesty code.
Listen. When you need to legally protect somebody from pirating massive databases of books, they're obviously doing something right.
We're talking about OpenAI and yeah. How they claim that, oh, we never downloaded the Book 1 and the Book 2 data... Or, no, what they said was, we never used the Book 1 and Book 2 databases, which, if you didn't know, dear listener, is two databases. There are two databases of pirated books from the LibGen library. If you don't know what LibGen is, it's Library Genesis, and it's a giant collection of...
books.
Copyright infringement.
Well, see, they didn't download those explicitly. They downloaded the individual titles repeatedly. Just like Facebook. Oh, yeah, what was it? Yeah, Meta downloading pornography.
Yep, so that's how it knows how to talk. It read a lot of books.
Yeah. And watched porn.
Yep. And all of those things, each action... was against the law and illegal, and all of you people out there would be subject to fines and or more actions should you partake in the same thing. So remember, they are above the law that you have to follow. The AI is already better than you.
Yeah, and now OpenAI is trying to convince this court that even though they didn't use it, they deleted it for reasons.
Wait, what did they delete for reasons?
The book and the book databases, the pirated content.
Oh, well.
And they didn't just delete that, like, from their AI. It's that stuff has already been absorbed into the AI model. They just deleted their evidence, is what they did.
And they've been subpoenaed now for emails regarding the reasons for its deletion. So we'll see whether it was deleted due to, quote-unquote, non-use.
Wouldn't it?
If you were smart and you were Eric Schmidt, you'd write the email, then you immediately. And you'd be like, do you have it? No.
Oh, why not?
There's no reason for you to keep it. Very few industries actually dictate that you have to keep that. One is the financial industry, which is very interesting.
Mm.
You have to keep any written communications.
Everything has to be audited in that industry.
Exactly. But you know what industry does not? The tech.
So yeah. Speaking of electronic and physical records, I heard from somebody recently where a year ago they tried to get their Social Security started, you know, retirement. They literally had, there was some weird shit going on in the early 90s where they had to find the physical copy of their returns and receipts from 1991 to make it happen.
They had to find a copy of physical receipts from 1991.
What pervert keeps records that long? I mean, straight up the paper from 1991.
Wait for it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Wait for it. garage, and the wife pointed to a box and says, it's in there.
Oh, my God.
All right, so,
and
like...
And then it was cleared in 3 days once the copies were sent.
I was... Which is insane, because, wow. Like, I thought Brett Kavanaugh was full of it when he's like, hey, I produced a calendar from when I was in college. Like, that should immediately disqualify you from public life. Like, clearly you have a hoarding problem. There's a dead cat in a jar. Maybe some human excrement somewhere and some fingernails.
But in this case, it was known where it was, and it's literally the document from the early 90s that made the thing go instead of getting locked up permanently. Think about that for 3 seconds. Oh, my God.
No, I can't. That's, like, so perverse from 1991. You're like, I'm going to retire.
The government agency is demanding that after... How long has it been? That's over 30 years.
35 years?
Yeah.
34 years.
34 years.
Isn't it, like, 7 years on financial records? You'd be like, I'm sorry, dude.
Right. Apparently not.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, man.
I mean, the as I understand it, the Social Security... payouts only go on the last 10 years that you worked.
Interesting.
You know, they take the
10. I don't know. There's a data discrepancy that there was an issue with, and that's what it took.
Wow.
That's fair. I mean, not really, but... Not really. That's crazy, dude. I can't imagine...
Yeah, that's like... kind of scary, right? Like, well, can you unblock it? And then what other process would it have been to unblock the whole logjam?
But then it's, like, even crazier. Like, why couldn't I just print out my own, like, you know, dot matrix printer and be like, this is legitimate.
Yeah. Artificially age the low-acid paper. Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting ideas here.
You heat it up a little, you throw it in the dryer.
Yep, yeah. Yep. That's right.
That's how you...
Dang. We're putting ideas out there.
What?
I hope anybody who's listening to this is...
I'm not paying attention to what's going on. I just... Literally just know how to count.
How much fraud have we just, like, committed right now?
None. We're just...
Yeah, we're speculating.
We're stochastically committing.
we're causing it elsewhere, I guess.
Yeah, we're just... Knock on down effect.
Okay, fine. Fine, I'll redirect you guys. Let's talk about the Airbus reprogramming.
What, of airplanes?
Wait, you mean, like, for the... 320s that had some weird software that had to be updated?
Yeah, apparently they were all subject to bit flipping without error correction.
Oh.
And that was causing them to look for the wrong altitude.
Yeah, wait, like, why would they be using ECC in a system like that?
They weren't.
It wasn't developed
because it was working just fine until all of a sudden they started getting exposed to, like, more cosmic rays.
Yeah, I know, but, like, let's pause. This is a multi-million dollar aircraft. Somebody's like, you know what? I don't really need ECC memory. Like, that's a scam.
Hey, everybody's got a cousin.
Right? Yeah, I guess.
And they're trying to work with, I guess.
Like, there's kind of, like, a social aspect to it, too, or workflow aspect. That system, I guess it was part of, what is it? Autopilot?
Yes.
Right? So when you depend on autopilot, because you have to do 11, 12-hour flights, and the flight crew literally can't have the attention to fly the straight and narrow that whole time.
The whole time? Have you ever seen what a pilot does? Pilots don't pilot. The whole time, they're basically in there giving each other favors. Like...
Exactly.
They basically take off and they land, and they don't even really land. That whole crap where, like... Like the pilots get sick in a movie and somebody has to take over. No. You hit like 3 buttons and the plane lands. That's no joke.
Yeah.
So
if you're not used to actually flying a plane or just autopilot all the time, what happens when you have to turn that thing off for 6 to 11 hours and you have to actually look at your instruments and keep wings flat?
Well, apparently,
like real men used to do in the old days when flying super cuts across the Atlantic. And you had 3 or 4 guys in the front who were navigating by starlight with a sextant to get to Paris. Those guys didn't exist.
All right, Brian, you're breaking up, so I'm just going to talk over you. It looks like about 1,000 aircraft are going to need hardware upgrades, not just software, which is cool that you can fix it with software. But, like, that's just basically software telling your computer, recheck everything you're doing.
Well, I mean, you can probably tap dance around it by trying to copy the memory twice. So you write it twice, and then you read it back. Or you could try to do error correction in software. That would be interesting, too.
Well, that's how you would do it.
Sort of like in software RAID, right?
Yeah, you would have to have a parity to check against. Like, this wrote well, this wrote well, this wrote well, and then, oh, this didn't write well. Recheck the entire process.
Yeah, but the problem with bit flipping is, like, it could just flip randomly and be like, it's good.
By the way, when we say bit flipping, what that means is, sorry, a random cosmic ray that comes in from anywhere in the universe hits a component inside a computer system that's inside any other system, and it will cause a piece of data to flip from a 1 to a 0 or a 0 to 1, which can alter an entire algorithm. You know, like telling your plane what altitude it's at, what position it's at.
It's like the old school Game Genie. Just like the violin.
Yeah, we're Game Genie and codes into this thing. No, technically, that would be called GPS spoofing. That can be done.
You know what I've noticed in Newark, right? My GPS goes wonky. Like, somebody is spoofing in Newark.
In Newark?
Yeah. Like, it's only there. Like, just goes nuts. Like, GPS just stops working randomly.
I haven't been through Newark, so...
It could be the buildings, but I don't have this problem in Boston or anything like that. But,
you know, speaking of ECC, recently the two probably most famous Linuses of the tech geekdom got together recently.
Oh, yeah.
Linus Torvalds and Linus of Linus Tech Tips. I actually don't know his name, so too bad for him.
But not famous enough.
Linus Torvalds always uses ECC RAM because probably like 10, 15 years ago, he was using a computer that didn't have ECC, and he was chasing down a bug for probably a good week with the Linux kernel. And every time he was compiling on this machine, turned out the bug he was chasing was a ghost because his RAM was unreliable.
So oh.
Ever since then, he's always gone for ECC, and he thinks it's insane that anybody would not use error-correcting RAM.
Yeah, but that's more expensive, and...
It's not that much more expensive. I mean, it's worth it, though. It's worth it.
Is it?
I think
I'm not using ECC, and my systems work fine.
How many gigs do you have in your typical system? Like, once you get above, like, 16, it's kind of silly not to because you have such a large pool of it.
He's not wrong. If you need something reliable, I mean...
Who needs something reliable?
Linus Torvalds, the creator.
It's not like they're putting these things in planes or anything. Oh, wait.
Thank you.
Actually, I saw Linux on a plane. Yeah.
That would
on a plane to...
That would make me more comfortable.
Where was I going?
The media screen.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the media screens, they're usually running some ancient version of Red Hat.
Interesting.
Like Linux version 2.
What?
Yeah, we're on...
Why?
Using a kernel Linux 2, and we're on like Linux kernel version 6. 617.
Because they probably don't need to be that sophisticated.
Oh, yeah. The last thing that compiles for that little 32-bit microcontroller.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still 32-bit.
You could do Gen 2.
Oof. Nobody wants to deal with that. Nobody wants to compile literally everything.
Ugh. AI data centers are putting hard drives on back order.
Interesting.
They're putting everything on back order. This is insane. I just saw an article that said Samsung won't sell to Samsung.
What?
Yeah. The Samsung Electronics Division of Samsung put in an order for RAM to Samsung Semiconductor. And they can't get RAM from their own company.
I can't wait for all of this to explode and fall apart.
Is this like a AI apocalypse of hardware limits and supply chain garbage?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it's like the chipocalypse again. Yeah,
just when COVID.
Except on purpose.
Yep. It's on purpose, though.
Like, this is an unforced error. We're doing this to ourselves. And the data centers are just increasing everybody's electric bill. They're polluting the air. And they're producing what? Sora videos.
Right. And you're currently listening to...
Do it.
I can't.
You're listening to WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson.
Yeah, but who will cremate
ice? And why Manalo?
And why Manalo now?
Who will cremate?
Technically, it's worldwide because we're on Pacifica. So
yeah, there you go.
Right. Oh, they're listening to us on Pacifica Radio.
As far as I know,
this is the network.
Yeah, WGXE. Well,
I don't know if anyone else
on the network is picking up this show. I doubt it.
I was going to say, so should we be, like, more careful or stuff?
Hell no.
No.
Good. Okay. Ha! Some Jeep owners got their Jeeps bricked by a software update. And that's what you get for owning a Jeep. Every last one of you deserves it.
Chrysler's known for their quality.
Chrysler is?
It is not.
I was going to say, are you it is this not. Classically?
Yes.
Do they brick things too?
It's Stellantis now. Stellantis, right?
Oh, my bad. Yes.
Stellantis. Chrysler is now a subset of a bigger company.
This was back in October, but a software update that was pushed for the Jeep Wrangler 4XE hybrids were left stranded after it was installed. Automaker pushed out a telematics update for the Uconnect infotainment system that evidently wasn't ready, resulting in cars losing power while driving and then becoming stranded.
How did they push it?
Through the cell network.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, all your cars have, like, SIM cards in them. They're all paid for by the companies. They're all sending data back.
What is really entertaining about that whole idea, right? Like, you have a closed system hardware platform. You didn't test it.
You had everything set up correctly. You could have tested it. You could have tested all the infrastructure, but you didn't do it.
All right, Joe's aghast as well.
You couldn't get put 100 Jeeps in a warehouse somewhere and just push the update and see how many of those get bricked.
How is this not a standard component of your update system? Like, Linux started doing phased updates even too. Like, some people be like, your update was held back because we're not letting everybody update this at once just to see what happens. That was just like a simple software implementation on their end. We're talking about a multi-billion dollar company here that should have like their stuff covered. They're responsible for people's lives. You're putting your children in this thing and taking it out on the highway, and a software update kills it while it's rolling.
You know, now that I think about it.
I love my Subaru that's so old.
There are more people who rely and probably owe their lives, I guess, to somewhere in the vast network of software that we use every day to Linux than there are to Jeep.
Okay. Because of the plane?
So it makes sense. No, not just planes, but like data centers, phones. Phone, you know, most of the world's phones run Linux because of Android.
No, I mean, but like you're back-ended by, let's say, on a cell network, you're probably using a BNG. BNGs talk to a Radius server normally, right?
What's a BNG? If you're throwing letters at me, both.
Oh, it's a
yeah, I don't either.
Border network gateway, right? Oh. So it basically allows the client on or off, right?
Okay.
And so
it says you're supposed to be here or you're not supposed to be on our network.
Yeah, like, did you pay your cell phone bill? No. Okay, goodbye. So that's what it's doing. So it would let the guys on and off. Yeah, and those, right, usually have an under system of Linux.
Yep.
They talk to a Radius server, most likely runs on Linux.
Yep.
The database backend that the Radius server talks to, probably
Linux.
Yeah, so there's a lot of Linux for around.
My point was, it makes sense that Linux would be more reliable and have a more mature release and testing protocol simply because of the amount of stuff that relies on it. Versus Jeep.
Theoretical conversation. Phone rings. Me. Hey, buddy, what's up? Buddy, my Jeep broke down. Can you come get me? Me. Bummer, what happened? Did you snap an axle? Blow the head gasket? Buddy, I updated the stereo.
Yeah, pretty much.
How do you not laugh at that and hang up? I mean,
it's more interesting that, like, you don't have more modular software, right? Where you're like, all right, the infotainment system is a container within the subsystem, right? So, like, if you were to, like, mess up the stereo, not the end of the world. What's doesn't this? Take out my braking system.
Well, it's supposed to be like that, though. As far as I know, that's how they're supposed to be architected, is each one runs as, like, a thread that is independent and talks to a little microphone.
Ain't no wrong. Ignition turn off now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, your stereo thread crashed. Oh, the whole system's borked. I can't start.
It's so stupid. I mean,
yeah, that is an interesting operating system that they got running there, that, like, if you, like, do they need to update the whole operating system to make a small change in, like, an app?
Probably,
I mean, that's insane.
Probably because of code signing and all that wonderful stuff that they
do. How do you not store backup of the previous firmware? Like, if you can afford to put a SIM card in there that's constantly paying to be paid for to be monitoring your ass, why can't you also put, like, a little bit of backup firmware?
Joe, why is there not ECC in the Airbus? Or proper shielding around the electronics components.
Yeah. I'm guilty of all the same things you're accusing Jeep of. I don't keep backups.
Yeah, I know, but you're a dude. One guy.
If your work goes dead one day, does somebody also die with it?
Unlikely.
No.
Well, Jeep is a little different.
Yeah.
Your Jeep. Holy crap.
Imagine they push an update now.
I hope they get sued. I hope they're sued, but they can't, because everybody that purchased the Jeep probably signed an arbitration clause or something stupid like that.
Oh, those things that should be made illegal?
100%.
Well, I have terms of service, but they're subject to change at my will.
Mm-hmm. I can change. Yeah,
I can imagine the judge telling them in that case, well, what are you complaining about? You bought a Jeep. You knew it was garbage.
I don't know. It was better that, what was it? Somebody who had Disney Plus cannot sue Disney
Yeah.
Theme park for, like, you know, naming you because you agreed to arbitration through your Disney Plus contract.
You remember that? Is this a part of the subject of, like, at least 3 Lewis Rossman videos? Basically, this dude's wife, I can't remember if she died. She probably died.
Or dismembered, because, something awful.
No, she was... given she ate shellfish at a restaurant at Disney World, where she told the waiter, I have a shellfish allergy.
Okay.
They wanted to sue. And Disney tried to say that because they were a subscriber or had a free trial, like, 3 years prior, there was a clause in there that said, oh, you can't sue us. Yeah, they tried to appeal to that. And as far as I know, the judge agreed.
Well, a contract's a contract. You people should all go live in the woods. I'm sorry.
They shouldn't go to Disney?
No.
If you go to Disney, you deserve everything that happens to you. I honestly don't care.
But if you have a wonderful time, you deserve that too?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. As long as we're in agreement.
No. You go down there, you go down there, and you pay a ton of money, and then, like, your family walks away with, like, memories for the rest of their life and like, a good time. Awesome. Your family also walks away completely maimed and broken for the rest of their lives. Also awesome. You went to Disney.
You took
your chances. You punch your ticket, you take the chance.
You punched the ticket, and you took a chance.
Yeah, I'm sorry. All of the presidents from the Hall of Presidents went nuts and, like, ripped your family apart. Oh, well. Now you have a good story to take home with you. Have a great day. You signed the clause.
Yeah, arbitration agreements should be
F around and find out. Yeah.
Like, anybody attempting to remove your rights in any legal document should be, like, naturally invalidated. But then again, like, remember, that's what happened to Steam. They went to an arbitration clause, and everybody took them up on it. Like, when they forced arbitration, everybody naturally complained all the time, and their arbitration, like, fees went through the roof. So they took it away, and they're like, okay, now if you have a complaint, you actually have to take us to court and sue us. And the complaints went down, because now it's a legal hurdle. But if you actually do take them to court, I mean, you have the right to have a jury and people involved.
Yeah, but what is the table stakes for Steam? Let's just say,
right,
it's going to be like $20 for a game.
Well, yeah, that's why. Like, why would you sue them?
Hold on a second. There are games where you make lots of little payments, and it can add up to like thousands of dollars over time.
Mm.
You know. I think they call those gacha games or something.
Oh, the micropayments?
Micropayments, that's right. Now that micropayments are a thing, it might actually be worth it to sue a game publisher, creator, or platform.
You know what's interesting about those?
Spent a bunch of money on them.
You know what's interesting about those games? 1% of the audience makes up 90% of their income.
Wow.
What?
So those games where you can buy to sort of be better, 1% of their audience makes up 90% of their income. It's
incredible. All right, then, yeah. like EVE Online.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Or basically take any game in the Apple Play Store. Pay to win. Yes, Play to Wins. What's the other fun one? Android. Basically any of those games. That's
anything
that's
you can pay for a little boost in the game or something like that.
Yes. 1%.
Why is that?
I don't know. 99% of the people because are normal, not idiots.
Those are the people with
and
the
money. And then there's 1%.
Those are the people that have the money, and the symbolism of the game taps into their addiction centers. I'm going to win at this no matter what. Money, 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 money.
You know, it's kind of like the guys who like cheat at Counter-Strike, and you're like, dude, like, how is this fun for you?
Exactly. But you're still, it might not be fun, but you're still hitting a reward center. So instead of like a kid sitting down and smiling and enjoying a game, think of it more like a rat being fed cocaine to hit a button. Button, 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 button.
It's dope being
sent. I mean, I get it, but like, how can that really be fun? Like, it.
Because they don't have that.
Kind of like the guy that like turds in the public pool, like on purpose.
Because they don't have friends to ridicule them into being a better person.
It's also not like they're having fun.
Yeah, but like
they're just like getting a dopamine hit from making
ruining everybody else's time. Yeah.
Yeah, peeing in the pool.
I got attention, dopamine. Yep. Rat hit crack bar.
Fair enough.
And that's every child right now picking up a phone. Rat hit crack bar.
Wow, that's a pretty big statement. Pretty big jump.
Yeah, keep them out of school. Hochul did something right by keeping phones out of schools.
Oh, keep the phones out of schools? I thought you meant keep the kids out of schools. It's like, what?
No.
Well, no.
That would be a better solution. The kids out of that prison known as school.
Yeah.
Ring. On to the next one. Ring.
On to the next one.
Well, then.
Work. Work. Work according to the bell.
Do as you're told. Rush to class. Follow the rules. Be the robot. Follow the rules. Do as you're told. Respect authority.
When the bell rings, move to the next station. When the bell rings, move to the next station.
Get you perfectly lined up to be robots in an Amazon factory.
Yep.
Until you're replaced by real robots, and then you have to starve on the street because nobody cares about you because you're one of millions and you haven't fought for your own rights or your own universal basic income. Just like a Jeep owner. You people are digging your own graves. Nice. I ain't jumping in with you.
Nice callback, sir. That's just called it right back.
That was good.
I'm gonna be living in the woods, shooting deer and working on my wood stove. Like, I will be fine, not contributing to your terrible society.
We can all aspire to that.
Oh no, I'm lucky. I'm lucky as hell. Because I have, like, the technological knowledge to know how bad things are going and to protect myself, but to also know I want no part of this. This was great growing up, watching like the revolutions come along, like you get the internet, all of a sudden now there's influxes of data and you can talk to people across the world. There's all sorts of new perspectives and minds you can touch. And then there's all sorts of new financial and business opportunities and the ability to work from home, which never existed before. And then you start crossing that hill and the AI takes over and slop controls your life and everything is dictated by an algorithm, not only like your job and your legal status in life, but everything you watch, like everything you turn on the TV is just an algorithm feeding, like, here's the next thing that's we're going to control and feed into you. You're not just going to find it randomly that somebody else might like, or it might just not come from a conversation. It comes from the computer. And then that computer is going to learn one day to access the CRISPR device, and then it's going to find a way to make itself a better form of human, and then the AI will be making us.
Just loop that right back to eugenics.
No, you didn't. You did that. You no. did that, Ben.
No, you said CRISPR you said, making better humans.
Yeah, there's better humans. I thought better humans is eugenics, isn't it?
Only if they're actually better.
Oh, well, yeah. That.
If they're if we start generating a race of Morlocks, no, like you're good, you can clean the machinery.
Maybe Morlocks just had bad PR people. I mean, they lived underground, right?
I mean,
look, what else the Morlocks
look,
they ate people.
Those surface dwellers were delicious.
See, there you go. Maybe
the Eli Eli or something Eloi.
Yeah, the LOA.
LOA, there they are.
I mean, maybe the Morlocks thought they were like a more advanced life form, right?
They were. They kept the machinery running. The LOI just laid around, banged, and ate stuff.
Okay, so they're like rabbits.
They're like our billionaires.
Wow.
And we're the Morlocks, and they're putting us there more and more every day. Fight back. And you're going to have to do it with money, and you're going to have to do it with suffering, and none of you are up to it. You're all a bunch of sissies.
Wow.
Holger, you're not listening.
Private Pyle?
Nah. I'm like, everybody's like, we need to do an economic blackout, or we need to fight back against Amazon. Amazon owns you and everything you do already. You lost.
Why not just not buy things from Amazon? Like, everyone always, like, gets very crabby about, like, Walmart and, like, Walmart.
Why?
Now the good guy. Like, it just gets weird because it's like, just don't do it.
Then you put yourself at a severe disadvantage.
Do I?
I saved hundreds of dollars by intentionally purchasing from Amazon in the last several months.
I don't know, man. Amazon's kind of a scam sometimes. Like,
let's say
a box of crayons.
For Prime.
Box of crayons.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, $5. Go to Walmart. It's a buck. So if I get in my car and just go wander down, I can go get other things.
That's why you want to go to a place like dupe.com, D-U-P-E.com. It's a website that you can feed any URL into, like from Amazon or Walmart, and it will find all the other stores that have the same product, and it'll just show you which one's the cheapest. And what I do routinely is everything that like the deals on Amazon are usually presented to me through a third party, somebody going through Amazon looking for the deals. And whatever's there, I always compare to a local store. If it beats it, I will make the purchase. It has to be a financial benefit to me. And like I said, I'm benefiting by using Amazon. And all the people out there intentionally harming themselves by not using it, they're not hurting Amazon in any way, shape, or form. Because if everybody stops shopping on Amazon, the entire internet is run on Amazon equipment. AWS is everywhere. That's why the internet goes out. Because they are too much of it. And when they go down, the internet goes down.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, they're, what, 30%? I think that's their market.
That seems like an insane amount of...
I mean, last time I checked, it was like 30-something percent.
I believe you.
Aren't Amazon Web Services the majority of their income at this point?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can stop shopping at Amazon. They don't care. They already own you. They already own the underpinnings of everything. Up 30%.
Wow. So it's not their majority of their income? Or it's a...
Nope.
Like, they don't depend on it?
No. I mean, I'm sure it helps, but...
That would kind of explain the... I'm trying to say of a nice way. Basically, let's say the degradation of their platform and how it operates.
Ah, the ensuckification.
Yeah, but it's a better term that I wanted to use.
I know.
But I would argue that it definitely suffers from that problem. Even like, let's say, using Amazon 10 years ago was much better.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
It wasn't intentionally trying to, like, screw you over. And well, extract everything it could out of you.
Yes. Even Google made changes to their algorithm just recently because I was, like, searching things and I'm like, this is garbage.
Google wants you on their page longer for the ad revenue.
Oh, man, it's, like, bad. And there's, like, sponsored, like, the sponsors are, like, not only at the top, they're at the bottom. And I get, like, three
That's good for them. They make more money off of you that way.
Yeah, but Alphabet, like, is the most profitable. Like, they have the highest.
Yeah, but we always want more.
Highest, like, raw cash taken is Alphabet.
But we need more. More. We're not taking enough from the people.
I got four people.
I could get, like, five more cents out of every single person. Let's do it.
Okay, so here's the breakdown. Make of this what you will. And most of Amazon's revenue is their online store sales.
Oh, okay.
Makes sense.
However, the majority of their operating income, like their profit center, is Amazon Web Services. That makes up about 74% of their operating income.
All right, so what you're saying is if like 10% of our population decided to stop using Amazon for a couple of weeks, they might not even notice.
They'd notice if everybody stopped using Amazon. Absolutely everybody.
Okay. Yeah, but like that also might be parlor tricks, right? Because usually like in an accounting sense, right, Amazon, the store, uses AWS services, which subsidize that. Like you think I'm fooling, but I'm not.
No, yeah, yeah.
So it would still hurt them regardless if you stopped using, if you stop buying things on Amazon because they're using parlor tricks.
People are
for
still
accounting.
Realizing that Amazon Web Services is kind of kind of a scam and you can kind of, you can get better deals elsewhere. Like
or self-host.
Yeah, self-hosting.
If you're big enough.
And if you're not quite big enough, you go to like Hetzner or some other Euro.
GeoCities.
Yeah, I mean, now, well, no, what was the Bank of America did a whole cost study of going to the cloud, and they're like, no.
They said no?
Yeah, literally no. Because they're like,
they're on-prem?
Yeah, they rent a data center, they have their own internal people running their stuff.
Sounds more secure. Sounds like I trust my data with them a little bit more. Just saying. That's the sort of thing people should be thinking about when they sign up and figure out where to put their money.
Or their data and services.
You guys are listening to the Thingularity radio program on WGXC. If you want to listen to our after show, head on over to WGXC.org. Hit the listen button. We'll be at the bottom somewhere called Thingularity. And as the hour rolls over, you'll be able to keep listening to us instead of the WGXC mainstream or stick it out there. That's awesome, too. Except we get to start swearing. That is the main difference, which is why you can head on over to the stream. Do it now before you forget.
We can say what's really on our minds.
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough.
Oh, yeah. I got words for Jeep and Amazon. Sure.
I'm pretty sure we're not holding back that much.
No. We're just dressing ourselves up so that we're kid-friendly right now. Because it's only children that work at the FCC.
I mean, Jeep is a four-letter word.
Interesting things to look up. Bootloader unlock. Wall of shame. Keeping track of companies that, quote-unquote, care about your data. These are companies that, when you unlock the bootloader on, say, like their mobile phone or their tablet, you can't relock it. Which means you don't get disk encryption. You can't encrypt the phone again.
Unless the OS you install does it on its own.
I don't know of any OS that does that.
Why can't you just force an encrypted partition from your own read-write stack?
So when you do it on a hardware level, it's usually a little quicker, right? So
it's more secure. It's not on software.
Okay, so
yes and no.
We're going to screw you over for wanting access to your own device.
You could.
Only one that does that so far, that allows you to relock, as far as I know, is a Pixel. Hopefully that'll change soon. Like, very soon.
And by that he doesn't mean Pixel stop doing it. Everybody else should start doing that.
Yes. Everybody should start allowing to relock. Sorry, I just interjected with something I saw. Wanted to put it out there.
No, now's the time to do it because we only got about 6 minutes of the on-air show left to do.
I know. What else is grinding? What's grinding Brian's gears? The fact that you
can't. I don't know. It's hot.
Brian is not in New York at the moment.
He's in island paradise.
For some reason, I've been wearing a hoodie all day. I don't know why I haven't taken it off. I've been to the garbage dump twice, and I've been wearing a freaking
hoodie. It protects you from the heat, man.
It's from the sun, but it's making me... I don't know what my issue is with wearing a hoodie today. It makes no sense.
You're just a hoodlum.
Why I'm not taking
at heart.
It's December. Yeah. You're from New York. It's hoodie weather.
You're programmed for it.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what's grinding my gears is the actual grinding of my gears. We've been driving this van around, and it had like maybe 650 or 60,000 flat lobe at the rear exhaust cam on this Volkswagen. And we're driving around, we go into like town, and all of a sudden the thing starts sounding like there's a little midget in the back of the motor hitting the engine with a sledgehammer.
Bang, bang.
Like, oh no, those are the lifters collapsing again. So we had to pull over, we had breakfast, and then I poured the sludgiest of the sludgy sludge Lucas in there, and it's been running fine for a whole week, keeping sludge through it, keeping the lifters not collapsing. So I'm like, oh, okay, all I gotta do is like not rev it too hard and just nurse this along for a couple weeks until I have to rip that motor out.
Just keep feeding it oil.
It's, oh no, I read on the label Lucas, it says that, you know, you can put this in your engine and you can use up to 60% Lucas compared to oil. So you can just put 60% sludge in your motor. Yeah. Just to keep it running for the last miles until you got to rip it apart.
You can also, like, bump up your oil thickness. Go to, like...
I did that already. W50. I also found out for, air quote, race cars, you could buy straight 50. So the next time I put oil in, or if I switch it out,
race car.
I'm gonna, race car for old cars that you don't want thin oil in it. So
I was gonna say
oil out.
Race cars use thin oil. They don't. Yeah.
Yeah. No. In this case, it's for old cars. I don't know why they call it that. But yeah, I'll put straight 50 in there after I see how much metal I make and measure the actual lobe. See if it's more than 60,000 down.
Dude, just upgrade to lard. That'll probably
Lucas is large. Good oil engine extending lard. Yeah.
So for the car dumb, which I am, what does a 60,000 cam lobe mean?
So the you know, to raise the valve, there's a cam lobe spinning around that pushes a stuff together and makes your valves open up. When you drop by 60,000ths and you're going through rocker arms that are like 1.4, that means your valves are lifting about 1/10 or 90,000ths of an inch less.
And that's from where on the cam lobe, right?
That's from the cam lobe literally eating itself up. So your duration and your lift, the amount of time that your valve is open for this exhaust lobe, is less, and its lift is less. So you're going to have less power on the two cylinders in the back. Because the genius of Ferdinand Porsche in 1930s, when he built the people's car, is he only has four lobes on the cam. And the left cylinder and the right cylinder's banks share the same cam lobe.
Hmm.
So you paint those lobes with a thick-ass grease, and that grease literally just builds them up enough to hit the lifter a little more.
And in this case, they're beaten up because the cam lifters that were following the cam were collapsing and beating against them, and that's why they were really worn out. These are hydraulic lifters on a later water boxer thing.
So just dump sawdust in there.
Yeah.
Screw it. Why not? Sawdust.
These are beaten so bad I couldn't pull the lifters out of the motor because they're inside the motor.
Oh, my god!
I got to split the cases. They're mushroomed.
That's crazy.
They've been beat so bad.
All right, guys, we're about to flip over. Everybody that's listening to the us on air, have a good night. We'll see you again next month. Everybody else, we're about to get fun.